Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. What happens when impeachment collides with Christmas? The holidays really should be a time of peace and joy, but that can be very hard to maintain for families or couples who hold different political views. So let's talk about why, and maybe we can get some strategies to use at home this holiday season. Joining me now is Meredith Goldstein, who is behind the Boston Globe Love Letters advice column and podcast. Welcome, Meredith.
Hello.
Also with us is Omar Ruiz, a licensed marriage and family therapist at Talk, Think, Thrive, a counseling service practice based out of Wellesley. Welcome, Omar.
Hi.
We want you to join this conversation, too. Do you have political differences in your family or your relationship? Are you dreading a family holiday party or dinner? How do you navigate difference, especially over the holidays? Call us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to pull up a seat at the table. So, Meredith, is this a tale as old as time, or are we more deeply divided in our more intimate relationships now?
I think it is a tale as old as time, but I also think that we spend so many of our regular days now navigating political differences. We are inundated with it at work, at home, that by the time we get to the holidays, it's like, oh, here we go. And I think it's also that fear of I'm going to go to a place where I usually feel loved and comfortable, and I'm going to have to hear something I don't want to know. So, I do think it's acutely complicated in the moment.
Omar, what do you think? Are you seeing anything different or more intense in the last year or two? Or are you hearing anything as the holidays approach from the families you work with?
I would say that during the holidays, it's around the time where you see a lot more conflict. Because there are some family members that you haven't seen in a while. And so when you do go to family events and family gatherings, you tend to actually hear other people's opinions and personalities start coming out during those events. And sometimes people have to get away and say, no, that's Uncle so-and-so. That's just their opinion. And that's just what they believe in. But it's okay. They're just drunk a little bit.
Okay. Well, okay. The drunk Uncle so-and-so is, I think, a tale as old as time. I'm glad you brought that in. At the same time, I really do hear people expressing a level of concern or dismay about what's happening at the dinner table, what's going to happen, what happened at Thanksgiving, what's going to happen during present unwrapping at Christmas. And it, so it does feel, so I guess, is that because we feel these things more intensely as families or we're together more often during the holidays? Is there something that's ratcheting this up, Meredith?
I think we're on our phones so much that we're constantly getting news, right? We're back in the day, we could go hours without getting minute-to-minute updates about political events. And right now, there's sort of this running ticker of news. You're checking your phone, you're seeing Twitter. So there's cause for conversation. And I think that can instigate conversations that might otherwise be ignored, where it used to be a board game and now everybody's looking down at a phone and commenting.
So do mom and dad cancel each other out in elections, or is grandma going to fight with the college student that's home and has different views now that they've gone off into the world? If you're worried about any of this or experiencing any of this in your household, call us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We want to hear your stories and we want to hear maybe some of your strategies for how you manage across these divides at the holidays. Omar, how big in general is politics or public policy as a stressor for couples? The University of Nebraska did a study after the 2016 elections that found that 40% of respondents said politics was a cause of stress in their own lives. Does that carry over into our intimate relationships?
I would say so. I look at it as more of, it's just another theme of struggles that couples have when it comes to communication. It could be politics, it could be religion, it could be dishes. If there's not a sense of teamwork or a sense of understanding that it's okay to disagree, but how do we navigate those hard times, then yes, the stressors compared to that study is valid. And that's what I end up seeing, especially when couples end up coming to couples counseling, because they end up getting to that point of almost no return. Then that's when they end up contacting couples therapists to go to a session because they cannot handle the moments where there's so much divide in the household, where there's so much tension and you can literally cut it with a knife.
And what do you think? Do you think for families that aren't at the point where they feel like they need to seek professional help that they're feeling these tensions too, maybe it just hasn't boiled over as much? Or do you think it's just a small subset of families and couples?
No, it's definitely present, and I agree with Meredith in terms of the access to technology and access to the media and the phones, that that in itself brings up a lot more, I would say, content for folks to read. And it's even debate in terms of with couples about what news broadcast to see. If some folks decide to go see Fox versus CNN, and they might say, that's fake news, I'm not going to listen to you. And then that's where some of the issues come in. And then when it comes to families, that then comes into the classroom setting and how students themselves might have their own different divide and start having debates or even issues and start, I would say the ramifications of bullying starts happening because of, oh, that is that your president? Is that who you voted for and so forth?
So you talked about the president, and Meredith Omar also talked about, you know, Fox News versus CNN, what's going to be on in that television in the family room. We tend to think about the triggers being Republican versus Democrat. Is it more complicated than that, maybe?
Oh, I think it's incredibly complicated. I almost just said to you, this is why it might be nice to have a football game on, but football is inherently political too, right?
Now,
these are all
anymore.
Right. And you know, I think about, you know, what we've just talked about with couples, right? Where couples have spent, in some cases, since 2016, learning a way to communicate when they have disagreements. You might know how to communicate with a partner, but when you show up and you're dealing with your in-laws, well, you don't have a routine with them. So you're starting from scratch with so many different relatives at that point. So, you know, but yes, there are certain movies that I think are probably great to have on in a
like,
no news policy. Well, I mean, listen, there are some Christmas movies that work across the board, television shows. And I do think, by the way, that television and all of these pop culture moments are wonderful distractions. And in fact, I love families that, you know, certainly my Jewish friends and my own family love to go to the movies on Christmas. I highly recommend it for everyone after a long dinner.
1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. What strategies have you developed since the election in 2016 to talk to people who have been in your life but really see this world differently than you do now? People you don't want to walk away from, you don't want to unfriend. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Omar, I'm going to come back to you in a minute. But Meredith, you said a minute ago, you know, people have started to develop strategies for how to talk to each other. Just name, what's one strategy that people who are finding successful ways to really engage or not engage around policy and politics issues are doing so?
What, you know, one thing I have talked to readers about is this idea that when people talk one-on-one, it can be easier than being at a big family table, right? So at home, perhaps it's, you know, you are one-on-one in many cases, but there's something about seeing another person's humanity when you actually can pay attention to them. So when I tell people, you know, oh, you're going to a big family gathering, what can you do to make everything a bit smaller? Because sometimes conversations are easier to have at home than they are in these big family gatherings. And I think it's also knowing when to walk away. You know, that's actually harder at home when you're with a romantic partner, a life partner. But at a family event, there are boundaries you can set. There are walks you can take. And my big trick, which is hanging out with younger children relatives, right? Where, you know, it's a great way to spend time with family, but sometimes you need to walk away from the adults.
Omar, what is the tension between the kind of quality conversation that people can have in small groups, like one-on-one between a couple, but also the intimacy that, you know, you can't escape in a one-on-one conversation versus the tension that a larger family groups create and how you navigate those things?
I look at it as more of a systemic issue where throughout, at least from what I've seen prior to the Trump administration, there's been a taboo on discussions around religion and politics. As soon as Trump administration came on board, then there's been, I would say, a spitfire of extreme perspectives. And now people have felt the need to express their desires, feel the freedom to be able to share their political perspectives. And when it comes to the family, the example that I gave before about the drunk uncle, now he's sober and he feels as though, I have a phone, I can show you proof, I can show you facts. And then it becomes more of an issue where What I try to tell couples is it might be good time to disconnect in order to reconnect. It might be time to go back and say, let's turn off the phones. Let's just focus on where we are as a family and how we can come together.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Rob from Braintree, I think you're the perfect call to pick up on what Omar was just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just was listening to the program, and from my point of view, this is the time where we should be shutting off our phones and shutting off politics and focusing on our kids and our grandparents and our loved ones. That's what the season's about.
Rob, have you recently in any time with your family shut off the phone, gotten other people to? And if you did, what was the difference? What did you experience?
Well, we talk about what's going on with our we have a bunch of little kids in our family, so we enjoy them. Talk about just things that are interesting and catch up with each other's lives and put that stuff aside for 1 or 2 days, you know, just get out from under it.
Rob, thank you so much for that call. And I have to say, Rob's call warmed my heart. Meredith, just hearing him talk about checking in with people, what's going on in your life, how are the little kids, that love seems so important not to bypass or ignore.
You know, it's true. And I think also we have to remember that, you know, we talk a lot about chosen family, right? And we do have family we choose in our lives, and they might see us in a different way and understand us in a different way. So I think it's also about setting your expectations for the family you perhaps didn't choose, but you love very much, that you're not going to, you know, get along with everyone perfectly, and you're not going to agree with everyone, but the commonalities are often there, which is caring about each other, which is wishing the best for each other, wanting to hear each other. And I think that so often I hear that, in the right mood, people can come together about the things that they love. So yes, that is the absolute heartwarming best case scenario. And perhaps it does involve turning phones off and bringing out a board game or just taking the time to ask the questions about the people who matter to everyone.
You know, Omar, this is the time of the year where we see a commercial on television a lot with a certain pink bunny pounding on a bass drum and going on forever and ever. We do need to recharge our batteries sometimes. Mm-hmm. And our capacity for love, our capacity to care about other people feels like a battery that needs to be recharged too. Mm-hmm. How important is it during the holiday season to make sure you have moments with people you love, with people you care about, that kind of recharge those batteries and give you the capacity or the margin to absorb the craziness of the world outside?
I think it's very highly valuable. I think it's something that that people, I would say, when it comes to the holiday season, it's either it's relaxing or it's stressful. There's nothing really in the center. And sometimes it also depends on what is the relationship that you have with those family members that you're visiting. And the idea of being able to recharge, I would say using that time, and I emphasize the idea of disconnect to reconnect, so that way you can go back and just be a person with your family instead of being someone on social media and poking and saying hi and just having these quick, instant gratification messages, but actually having an in-depth, I would say, compassionate conversation with someone about their lives, of like what they're doing in their ins and outs and how they're growing up and what's going on within their household that you don't necessarily see or feel when someone's posting something online.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Jerry is calling to join the conversation from Storrow Drive. Jerry, go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I heard your guest say something to the effect that this is all because of the Trump administration. That's a ludicrous statement. I'm old enough to remember that there was family discord over politics and culture war issues and religion and you name it, many, many decades. And why it's necessary to think that somehow Donald Trump is responsible for every unpleasantness in the world is beyond my comprehension.
Well, Jerry, I'm glad you called. I have to admit, I took Omar's comment a little differently. I took him as saying that there's, in the last couple of years, people are feeling more free to talk about politics. I didn't personally hear him blame President Trump directly. But as you said, you've seen generations of this kind of conversation. Is there another time that you remember in sort of American moments where you thought people were particularly heated or particularly struggled at the holidays around these kinds of issues, Jerry?
Sure. The Vietnam War was the most divisive issue that's happened in my lifetime, and I'm in my 70s.
I think it's also important to remember that even in times where there aren't these acute moments of political discord that we see minute to minute, for some people, their lifestyles have always been at odds with their families, and they have to go home and they have to either accept these differences or not. So I think that, you know, for some families, they're feeling it more right now. But for other people, they're saying this has long been my relationship with coming home.
I am so glad Jerry called. I want to add one more call to this. We've got Kate from Marblehead. Kate, pull up a seat at the table. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just telling your producer there, one, you were looking for specific strategies, and my specific strategy suggestion is a gratitude circle where you go around and you say what you're grateful for, and then have a dance party. And we did this at Thanksgiving, and it was awesome.
What songs did you play, Kate?
So it was just kind of random from, from my brother's playlist. But it was, you know, you could have been at any, you could have been at any bar or any bar mitzvah or anything, and it was just all popular music, and the kids got up, and people who had just had surgery got up, and people just sort of celebrated.
That's great. And Omar, what is the role of sort of play and creativity in keeping families together during tense moments?
I think it brings out, I would say, the child in all of us. I think sometimes as adults, we tend to forget to just connect to playfulness. And playfulness is both a skill set and just a characteristic that people have had. And once we get into adulthood, we tend to forget those moments until we get in front of little kids and little children that we have that sense of happiness of these are very, you know, I would consider them little people. They're little people, they're sponges, and they're a ball of happiness, even though there's sometimes moments of a lot of stress because you're trying to guide them into this world that at times may be unforgiving. But it's, I would say playfulness, playing Uno or any board games just brings back the sense of fun and connection. And I think that's what's important, is that sense of connection.
Meredith, we had asked you for some tips on sort of surviving the holidays. We've got all of those on our website, radioboston.org. But in short, what are, you know, hit a couple of the high points that you think are strategies for families during this time of year?
Well, I do think that spending time with children, you know, I don't have children, so it's very wonderful for other adults when I can take on their children for an afternoon.
It's huge.
Yeah. No, I love to be that person. And even if you do have kids, you know, it's a way to engage, again, without having to have all of those conversations. You know, I do think that limiting the time you spend with family. I don't know when Christmas became 15 hours of a dinner. For some families, it is. I think that 3 hours, that's a very appropriate amount of time to truly engage with the people you love. It's still quality time, but you can give yourself a hard out. I also think that...
How does one say, okay, I know you guys are going another 6 hours, but I'm tagging out.
I'm a master. My sister always says I'm a master at starting to leave as soon as I get somewhere. Where I think you also train your family to know, here are my social boundaries. I know people who have dogs for this reason. They have to go home and deal with that. So I just think to say, hey, this is what I'm feeling up to, and to train the people you love to say, this is when I'm best. I'm going to be with you for the best for these 3 hours. I also think that rewarding yourself when you know it's going to be a difficult night, it's not always going to work out to be warm and fuzzy. So to really say, here's what I'm going to do for myself at the end of this, when I've given my attention to people who I love but are complicated, here's what I get to do when I'm back at home. So, I think that it's all part of it.
All right, let's grab one last call. We've got Charles on the line from Milton. Charles, go ahead.
Yeah, I got two rules that I have when I have a family dinner. One is I do not allow cell phones at my table. And two, we do not put the television on. That way people have to actually interact with each other and they can't get distracted by the television.
How long have you had those rules in place, Charles?
Oh, years.
Excellent. So I want to turn to Omar and say, Omar, what are some other rules or rules of the road or tips for healthy family interactions, especially around holiday meals and present opening, especially if you're staying over at the place and you can't go let your dog out 3 hours later?
I would say for couples who are going and visiting family members, as they're on their way to visit, having what I consider a couple's language. So a couple's language is It's, I would say, code words or phrases that they can use with each other during the time that they're there. Like, for instance, my wife and I have our own code word called halvesies. So if she notices that I might be eating more than necessary at these gatherings, she'll say halvesies, which would mean to us, I'll eat half of this, you can eat half, and then we'll call it a day. So that way there's no argument about did I eat more than necessary. And so some couples in those instances, they can create their own couples language or code words that they can use so that if there is a heightened conversation, what is a way for them to be tagged out so that they can like slow things down or take a break or take a breather. As far as families, it depends on the kids and their ages. A lot of teenagers may not want to engage in so many of those activities because most of their connection, or at least at this generation, a lot of their connection is based online on either Snapchat or other social media apps. So a lot of it is just bringing them back to just the basics of, hey, let's just play a board game or even Monopoly, which is going to take most of the evening. And for parents, if they're feeling as though depending on which family members are there, they can decide to schedule things out.
Okay.
Where at this time, we're going to play these games and then the adults can and have a conversation later. So that way they're trying to do their best to not have kids involved in any adult conversations.
Okay. And Meredith, in the last 30 seconds or so, what about people who are thinking about dating across the political divide? Do you have a particular word of advice?
I mean, I think that if you know for a fact that you can't be accepting of someone else, you don't do, you know, you don't have to do it. You know, again, this is about finding commonalities, but I really tell people if you're starting with that process, think about whether or not you can really continue and how flexible you can be.
And if you have to bring someone home, who's the other party?
You know, it's again, it's about looking for common ground and knowing when to walk away.
All right. That is Meredith Goldstein.
Knowing when to have a dance party.
There you go. Excellent. Meredith Goldstein, behind the Boston Globe Love Letters advice column and podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Omar Ruiz, licensed marriage and family therapist at Talk, Think, Thrive, a counseling service based out of Wellesley. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.